The only thing I felt was anger about Biden's behavior.
Doctor, you were right. It helped my voice, but I don't like how this affected my life. I would like to get my two balls put back into my body. All right. Here we are back together again. Moritz Batscheider and Jordan Prinz together again. Batman and Robin to save the day.
Whoop, 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 whoop. That's not totally true because sadly, we are not together physically.
Yeah, that's true. Not physically together, but in spirit. And I think that's good enough, you know?
Yeah.
It's close enough.
It's good enough for me.
Yeah, we have like, I mean, I guess everyone in the world kind of does, but we have like the smallest kind of COVID scare, like somebody was at a place where somebody was tested for maybe positive. And so, you know, everything is just like connected through other people. So it's just safer that we, you know, do an episode, you know, from our homes. But
no, we have a concrete case here, especially what I wanted to tell you. Tony definitely has to do a 2-week quarantine now.
She definitely has to do it.
Yeah. Even if her test tomorrow will be negative, she has to do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you were comfortable naming names, but yeah, so your girlfriend was at an event,
yeah,
right, where someone tested. So she gets her results tomorrow, or?
She should get a result tomorrow. So I'll ask her later about it, but I think this should be fine because it's a situation that happens day by day this year,
right,
everywhere. She's been on an event which has been kind of a season kickoff of a local volleyball team who started a partnership with M94.5, the station, and she was there as a representative of the station. And now today they found out that one person who was at this event, and there were like 40 people, was positive.
Okay.
And now the health... What do you call it in English? Health office? I don't know.
Yeah, like the health center or something.
Yeah, something like that. Said that everybody who has been there has to do a 2-week quarantine.
Okay.
Which is kind of ironic because the whole actual volleyball team was there and they wanted to kick off their season. And now they cannot start the season because the players have to be in quarantine.
Oh, man. That's so crazy. That sucks, man. And is Tony, is she scared about maybe having it, or how does she feel?
By the way, cheers. I just opened the beer.
Cheers, man.
As far as I got it, she's not too scared about having it, but more rather what she will miss in that time.
Yeah.
She has to stay home because she had big plans and things that would bring her further, etc.
Yeah, that really sucks. And because you're living together now, like, what does that mean for you? Do you think...
That is the funny thing, because she asked the woman from the health center who called her and said, you got to do this 2-week quarantine. Regardless of the outcome of her test, I do not have to do the quarantine, which is super weird. I guess I will do it because would not make any sense if I'm not doing it.
Right.
But by law, I would not have to.
That's so strange because
I am one piece further in the chain.
Make your one degree further away.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what they say. But I think it's super weird because if she is a risk and she's my partner, we live together.
Yeah.
Then obviously I would be a risk as well.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, I mean, you see each other every day.
Exactly. The chances probably are super, super tiny that I would not get it if she had it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the reason why I... you know, that's exactly the reason why I didn't want to maybe do this show together tonight, because maybe through her, then you have it. And then if I were to get it, then I could pass it along. So it's just, it's just safer to do it like this. But you don't have to quarantine, but you are choosing to.
if it's true that yeah,
if it's positive, you mean?
If it's positive, yeah.
Would you then get a test, or would you just quarantine?
I would just quarantine.
Okay,
I would guess. And it's a weird situation because what do I do if the test is negative, but she has to do the quarantine, and
right,
I do not have to. It's super weird.
Then
it's
I guess
super
you're just,
weird.
I guess you're going to be the grocery runner for a while.
Yeah, that's true. That's the thing. If the test is positive, that's the only. I guess as far as I see it,
yeah,
and what I think I will do, that's the only difference. Will I be the guy getting the groceries,
right?
Or will I be stuck here as well?
And then Leif Ferrando is going to get a lot of money this month. Oh man.
Dang.
Yeah, that's really crazy. This is the second instance where I knew someone personally who was like close to an instance where they were like at an event with somebody who did test positive.
Yeah.
And then they were worried, and this we canceled some, you know, some things together, and yeah, it can be really freaky.
Yeah, and that's basically the reason why we're not together. But I thought about doing a classy Donald move. Getting into an Uber and riding up and down in front of your apartment to show my face to my fans.
That's funny. I was about to make a my own Donald Trump joke. I was going to say like, well, Bam. if you were concerned that she was having an affair with him, I guess it's confirmed. Oh man! Did you see this? Audio that was released from Melania when she was complaining about?
About Christmas.
Yeah, and in the same one, she says, you know, she's annoyed that she has to do all the Christmas decorations. She doesn't want to do it. And then someone says, and she's like, and then they ask me about the children being separated at the border. And I say, give me a fucking break. You remember this? Did you see that?
I only heard that part about Christmas because I guess it was a meme or something where they had it embedded.
Yeah, that's the same. It's the same audio. So you can find it on YouTube, but it's like,
okay,
yeah, she complains about Christmas and then she's in this flustered, you know, kind of rant. And she complains that, it, you know, while she's doing this, people complain to her about the children. And she's like, just give me a break already, you know? And that's so crazy. Like I knew that he was over the rails insane, but I didn't really know that she was just as bad. I kind of assumed that she was playing the marriage full time as a business because, I mean, it is a business. That marriage is totally, you know, like an agreed upon financial benefit for her, you know?
I don't think they have
There's
ever
no love, you know?
Spend one evening, one night within the same building,
no.
I would guess.
I mean, remember
there were no events. Yeah. Official events.
Yeah, I mean, you noticed when he first got elected in, she was staying at a different city or something than him.
Yeah,
she was staying in Trump Tower or something, and it's really.
Did you
crazy.
See those videos with the super zoom on what happened after the debate when the wives of Donald Trump and Joe Biden came on stage?
I don't think so. I know that Joe and her hugged, and then Trump had this face that he was kind of
Trump pulled Melania's arm like, we gotta do it as well, and she straightforward rushes it back and says enough, just the move of her pushing his arm back.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, she kind of swats him away, like, get your filthy fucking greasy hands off me. That's really wild, man. Yeah, I did see that. It's unbelievable that this is our president. And did you see, what did you think, like, you're working in media, what did you think about the debate? Or I guess it's kind of unbearable to watch in general, but...
Or
what did you think about it as a German? That's more interesting.
As a German, okay. I don't know if that makes us a special point itself. Whatever.
Well, you
I
know,
didn't
just
see,
not
I didn't
being
see,
an American, you know?
Yeah, I didn't see the whole thing...
Yeah, I couldn't watch the whole thing either. I watched clips because after 5 minutes, I wanted to blow my brains out.
Yeah, I skipped through it. And
I saw the highlight reel.
Yeah, and the only thing I really thought about or the only thing I felt was anger about Biden's behavior.
His behavior?
Yes.
Why?
Because I thought, okay, the dumbest thing he could have done is to lead this debate on Donald Trump's level.
And you think he played it on Trump's level?
Yeah, and I think that's the dumbest thing he could have done to go into this debate and have arguments with him on his childish, weird level of arguments. You know what I mean?
There were like there were definitely
moments. Shut up! This one sentence. Shut up, man.
The shut up, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gonna be infamous
obviously,
now.
Obviously, I feel from my point of view that he's right, etc. But I still think it is super dumb regarding the election, the upcoming election.
Right. It's frustrating.
To play that game.
Yeah.
Because then you're still leaving Donald Trump in the lead because he's the master of this game.
He's the master of that particular game. It would have been interesting to see Biden try and play a different one. But I also wonder, I mean, you also saw the moderator got ran over by Trump's tactics. And I wonder, like, is it possible in a situation like that to even play a different game? Or do you just have to, like, could Biden have approached it another way? What if he had just been very calm and mature the entire time, but then he would have said like 30% less than what he said?
Yeah.
You know, Trump would have just talked over he talked over the whole thing anyway, but he would have done even more so. I wonder if Biden hadn't stuck up for himself a few times. He called him a clown, told him to shut up. I wonder if I could even keep my cool in that kind of environment because Trump is so irritating, you know?
That's the thing.
I wonder I don't know if I could keep my cool either with this like child that's barking over professional, you know, like professional and important questions about the future of the nation.
No.
Like that. I mean, you would think, because Saturday Night Live just did the bit with, you know, Alec Baldwin and Jim Carrey playing Trump and Biden. But I don't even think it was as funny as reality is, because you can't mock this. It's stranger than fiction, as they say.
No, but I gotta admit, because regarding that, I have not seen the whole thing. Might be something that affects my point of view, where I see it like, okay, why did Joe Biden did it that way? Because I didn't see the whole thing and maybe didn't see everything Biden had to go through.
Yeah.
But I also gotta admit that it was easier for me to think that way, because I still don't, as someone who's not from the US, I still, the way I think that Biden went in or did this debate with the dumbest possible approach, I also think Biden is the worst candidate for this election the Democrats could have picked.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's just a whole different, that's a whole different conversation.
I think he is
not my first choice, of course.
Yeah, and for my opinion, I think that plays a big role.
I think it's kind of interesting that he chose Kamala Harris, because I'm curious. I think the opinion is split on her as well, but I honestly don't know why. I don't have enough information. I haven't done enough research to understand why the opinion is, from what I understand, also kind of split on her as not only a vice presidential candidate, but also why she was shut down as a presidential candidate. And I'm curious, man, if I don't have a lot of faith that Biden will win this election. I mean, Trump has Trump has ruined every single thing that you can name, basically, worldwide in 4 years. He's done a pretty amazing, incredible, superior job at ruining every single thing. I'm not really sure how much else, or you know, what else he can ruin and how far he can take it. But I also just don't have a lot of faith that someone like Joe Biden can win. I mean, he's, you know, this idea that he's old and fragile. I don't think he's so fragile, but he is very old. And I just kind of wish we would have had someone younger, you know? I didn't get what the issue would have been with someone like Pete Buttigieg or...
Yeah.
You know, I really liked him. And also, I don't know too much about the things people are arguing about against Kamala Harris, but I also liked her a lot in the early debates when she would... when she was confronting Joe Biden about his previous stands on things. I think, again, missing a lot of information about what people disagree about with her, I do, upon first impressions, think that she would be a cool president. Like, she would be a good... I think America needs a female leader. And I do think that's overdue, but that's also another topic. But... Yeah, Joe Biden not being my first choice at all. I still think that, you know, he's more center left. He's not as extreme and as progressive. I'm using air quotes here as people believed Bernie Sanders is. I mean, by America's standards, Bernie Sanders is this wild, crazy socialist guy who's gonna like... Yeah. You know, he has these pipe dreams.
But it doesn't take much in the States to be a socialist.
It's, dude, they called Obama a socialist. It's unbelievable. Like, that's so silly when you see what's been accomplished over hundreds of years in Europe as opposed to how extremely, extremely conservative, even democratic politics are in America. It's really absurd. But... I think despite Joe Biden not being my first choice, it's still just not Trump.
That's the thing. But you don't believe that
that he'll
Biden
win?
Has a chance to win it?
I had a conversation a few months ago with someone, I can't remember right now, but someone who had like a family member who was in the highest like one of the higher levels of German politics. I don't know if someone, you know, I don't know the equivalent of like a mayor maybe or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a mayor's assistant or something. And they had a conversation with them maybe a year ago about the potential for Trump's reelection. And they said that in their many years of political science education and historical education and experience within the field that they believe someone with his kind of manipulating way and fear-mongering, which is his strongest ability, I think, really making people afraid of things that aren't the problem and twisting the truth in such an overzealous way that they believe he's the only one who can give the real honest answers, that he has a kind of power in the same way that many, many other previous dictators and fascists have had, where people find a kind of messiah essence in him, that he's this fresh perspective in government and that he's going to bring this, you know, strength to the country. And even though his polls are really down right now, his polls were also really down
before the first election.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And because America has this bogus system with the Electoral College and doesn't believe in the popular vote, which is already, again, you could make an entire podcast about why that's a bad idea. I think one person should count as one vote. Yeah, I think he has some sort of power. And he's also not so private about how he intends to manipulate the election. I mean, his biggest thing that I argue about a lot is that he is preaching that mail-in ballots are going to be a main source of fraud in the election. And all of these things that he's spitting out, even things that he's dumped out in the debate about ballots being left in rivers and ditches and stuff, all of that is a lie. All of that is false. It's not true. And it's so easy for people under his, I don't know, under his guidance or in his shadow in a way, to just hear that on a big national debate like that and take it for granted and not do any research and just believe that their president's being truthful with them. And I think you can't put a price on that kind of belief. You know, it's the same. I mean, I hate to use the most obvious example, but it is the same kind of thing that Hitler was doing, where he was making the media out to be liars so that his propaganda was the forefront knowledge to his followers. You know?
Yeah.
And I just think I wouldn't be surprised if he got reelected. I hope so much, even though Joe Biden is not my favorite. I hope he gets elected. I really, really honestly do. I'd much rather have him than Donald Trump, but I really don't know.
But what do you think would happen if Trump gets elected again? Because I could imagine the US could see a civil war during a second legislature.
You know, I've had that conversation a lot recently. I also wonder about a version of a civil war, if there's going to be more riots, more marching, and then which inevitably leads to, you know, occasional looting, and which I don't want to use looting as like a purist example of bad behavior, because given certain, what's the right word I'm thinking of? Like when there's a certain purpose behind a particular kind of riot, then I believe breaking down the establishments can benefit and even support particular messages. I don't believe that's always the wrong thing to do. But I do think that there are a lot of opportunities for there to be a particular kind of civil war, whatever that might look like, if he's reelected. So I completely agree. I don't know how it can get, like, that would be the next level. How can it get much worse? Like, how can you get worse than, it would take hours to list every awful thing he's done since he started, but like, how can you make a scientific pandemic into a political issue and convince millions of people to not wear a mask so that you have 1,000 people dying every day? You have millions of people infected, and then it comes out that you knew about it and you knew how dangerous it was and back in February, and you chose to do nothing about it. And now you have people who are like shoving mask wearers in the street and calling them faggots and telling them that like their country is going to be full of pussies because of people like this. And you know, you see these videos and you hear this language and you're like, how can protecting other people by wearing a piece of cloth on your face be a political issue? And I don't know how much worse it can actually get when you've created that, because for me, that's such an innocent fact, like such an innocent thing to follow. Like just wash your hands has become a political issue. So I think a civil war would be the inevitable next, you know, maybe a couple steps away, but that would be the thing he's leading to, because it just can't get much worse than that.
Yeah, it's tough. And one thing where I always get to point in this discussion about your elections over there, where I always have to step, is any form of predictions on what could happen and concrete thoughts about what needs to happen and which states need to vote what way for a certain outcome. Because I gotta admit, to this day, I do not understand the American election system.
Of course. I mean, why would you? It has this ridiculous, ridiculous system that is so easily and very highly studied rigging. It's the Electoral College.
You as American, could you break it down super easy for people who really just might not know why there could be issues with this system?
Okay, so the easiest way that I can break down what the Electoral College is trying to do is what it's... Let's say that it's a completely honest and fair system, right? So in an ideal world, what the Electoral College is trying to do is it is saying, let's segment, like separate, draw lines around certain areas of the states. And let's say that, regarding the population of each state, they have certain representatives for these lined out areas of each state. And they say, okay, this section of this state has, I'm just throwing random numbers here, but let's say that this area of this state has 100,000 people. Then we're going to list, by voting or by some system, two representatives that cast a vote for that region. So you have, 100,000 people, and maybe depending how the lines are drawn and where they're allowed to vote, depending on where those lines are drawn, because that also dictates where you're supposed to go. If your county voting booth is, 20 miles, whatever, east of where your job is, then you have to do all this and that. Anyway, basically, depending where these lines are drawn, these very arbitrary lines are drawn, then you have representatives that, literally represent your vote. So in all of these states put together, instead of having, 320 million votes, you have these kind of arbitrary numbers that are taking place of a representative that represent X amount of votes, which is kind of a dumb system because... and it's been proven over and over and over again how these arbitrary lines that segment different parts of the country are oftentimes shifted and moved and negotiated to influence certain people to vote a certain way or to limit certain people from being able to vote a certain way. And they kind of pressure and trick, of course, a lot of underprivileged, undereducated, and poor people, and a lot of minorities, into being put into a certain corner where maybe their representation counts as less, or maybe they're, there's also a great term called gerrymandering, which is the rigging of that line, where they can say, X amount of people live here on the left hemisphere, and X amount of people live here on the right hemisphere. But maybe they have more people on this side, they're going to vote the way they want, and less people on this side, so they're going to draw that line, draw a wider curve around the side that they want so that the representation is less on the ones they don't. It's really not a fair system. And
this basically means that the political party that is in charge before an election always has the power to do this.
That's a definitely a more complicated question because I'm not sure how layered that power is, but it does happen a lot and often. And sometimes you have kind of miracles where such a huge majority of people come out and register newly as 18-year-olds to vote because there's like a momentum or like kind of a revolution. For example, when Barack Obama got elected, it was such an awarding, great feeling of accomplishment from the youth and from the minorities in America because I think, I don't know how many millions of people registered to vote for the first time because they saw a problem happening and they saw a chance for representation. and they came out of the woodwork to make it happen despite these limitations. But more often than not, the people who were chosen as presidential candidates are all based on super PACs, and they're all based on money, and they're all based on what might benefit the higher class of people. Maybe it won't lose them too much money either way. And then Electoral College is this really bogus system of representation.
Yeah.
As opposed to what I guess you guys have here, what we should have, which is the popular vote. One vote counts as this.
Yeah, because that's the point where I always get struck understanding who by which legitimacy, that's the word. Who by which legitimacy medicine?
I'm sorry that I laugh, but what are you trying to ask?
I always lose it at that point where I cannot understand who and how and by
Who's legitimate or who's not legitimate?
Who's legitimate to do something to those, we call it lines, like to move those districts, etc.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's exactly the point that I don't get, because I always thought, okay, those are fixed, and
right.
That's what I would guess, just like you vote candidates from your district in Germany, but those districts don't change.
Here's a great definition of gerrymandering. So gerrymandering is a practice intended to establish an unfair political advantage for a particular party or group by manipulating district boundaries, which is most commonly used in first past the post electoral systems. First past the post is a little bit kind of a complicated term. The terms are called like cracking and packing, you know, like that's pretty clear, like cracking certain areas, packing others into a pocket that you want. The U.S. Supreme Court affirmed in 1995 in a case called Miller versus Johnson that racial gerrymandering, which happens a lot, is a violation of constitutional rights and upheld decisions against redistricting.
When 95?
In 95, Miller versus Johnson upheld decisions against redistricting that is purposefully devised based on race. Right. So they're saying that this is racial gerrymandering is a violation of constitutional rights. Yeah. But I want to see here U.S. Supreme Court case concerning affirmative gerrymandering, racial gerrymandering. It increased money. Okay. So that was, Miller versus Johnson in 1995. But it is a really, really common problem. And actually, there's a great, I don't know if you know the Explained videos, the channel Explained.
Yeah.
They have a great video on it. I'm going to put this down, actually. And there's a fantastic John Oliver about that. I'm going to put this down. Gerrymandering video link.
But to get back to what could happen during this election.
Yeah.
We should also not forget that this would not be, or we don't know what happens, but
right,
there has been forms of manipulation and of elections before, like it was Bush versus Gore with this voters recount. Was it recount?
Oh, yeah, the famous Florida recount.
In Florida, 2000, I guess. 2000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stuff like this. And I'm super curious what will come out with votes by mail, etc., etc.
Right. I mean, Trump has basically come out and said that if the election does not go in his favor, that he will question, like he's already admitted that he will question the legitimacy of that count and will probably find a way to challenge it somehow. And that's why he's right now campaigning the delegitimacy of mail-in ballots, which the level of fraud that has actually been accounted for in mail-in ballots is extremely, extremely low. I want to go as far as to say somewhere around 1% or less. It's just, especially right now, because we, you know, what he knows, what he realizes right now is that it's the pandemic and a lot of people are stuck at home.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense to not wait in line for 7, sometimes 12 hours, which is a true story that was accounted for.
12 hours.
Yes. Yes.
Standing in line.
Yeah.
For an election.
The most recent John Oliver came out this most recent Sunday. So I saw the video on Monday morning. It's about the US elections and you should watch it because it's about people and how they're, you know, put in these positions to, they have to wait so long. And I think that what he's trying to do is to decrease the amount of people who are allowed to vote from home, who maybe have illnesses, disabilities, are sick from COVID, or put out of their work, because he believes that if more people are allowed to vote from wherever they are and they don't have to drive in, take off work, take their kids with them, wait in line, that they're more likely to have less voters on the Democratic side.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like such an obvious, open pile of bullshit. It's so obvious and it's so disgusting. And it really bothers me that isn't something that is so easily just shoved to the side. Like, okay, man, you're a joke. That's really wrong. That's, you know, murdering democracy. That's against everything this country stands for. That is the most anti-American idea I've ever heard. And I don't know how it is becoming like the main agenda of our president. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But I guess that's really all I can say about that one. But we can move on to something nicer, which is that right now, until I think, so this comes out Thursday, so it would be tomorrow for the listeners, but I think until Friday, I have a Nintendo Switch.
You sucker, and I'm not allowed to leave the house. Fuck you.
I was going to surprise you. I was going to bring it tonight.
No!
I know. It's the best. It's the best ever. It's so cool. I don't want to like throw it in your face, but I've never.
You already did.
Oh, I'm gonna continue. It's so cool, man. So my friend Ben, he went out of town for the week, and he's just
on the houseboat.
That's right.
Instagram. That's so right. Amazing. He's on
this really cool houseboat with his fiance, and we were talking with them. We had dinner with them, I think, last week. And Tuesday or something. And he said, hey man, like I'm gonna go out of town. I just got this Nintendo Switch. I have a few games. I don't know if you're curious if you want to borrow it, we're not gonna bring it with us. And my first thought was like, you're crazy. Of course you should bring it with you. But I said, yeah, of course that'd be great. So I was, you know, I've been kind of thinking about for the past year or so if I should really put the money down and like invest in like a PS4, or now there's going to be a PS5, which is apparently amazing.
Or a new Xbox, which will be better. Or a
new Xbox. I thought about that. Yeah. Oh, you're an Xbox guy, huh?
Not really, but the latest gaming device I own is a PlayStation 3. And I also recently, since I have a living room now,
right,
buying a console, and then I saw the key facts about the PS5 and the Xbox, and the Xbox offers way more for the same price. That's only the thing.
Yeah.
in terms of specs.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is like I really have to decide, like long story short, I'm borrowing this for the week and the games are really cool and I really enjoy it and I love playing, you know, you can play it on the projector, you can have it handheld, two-player all the time. It's very cool. But I really have to decide, like, I'm pretty sure I need to get a gaming console this year. And I'm kind of torn if I should get the Nintendo Switch, which is more arcade-based games, or if I should, you know, really double down and maybe get, one of these new PlayStations or Xboxes. Because the thing is, my favorite kind of games are these, you know, single-player adventure games. Like, unfortunately, I've never had the pleasure of playing Red Dead Redemption.
I got it here.
You got it there. See, my favorite game kind of is like these open world, like, you know, like Rockstar. So they, you know, Grand Theft Auto.
Or Assassin's Creed or something.
Or Assassin's Creed, like just, you know, single player and, you know, having these missions and like Splinter Cell and these adventure games. And I think that's super fun. I love Mario games, but I wonder if the Switch is a bit limited.
Are you a Zelda guy?
I was when I had the GameCube about 10 or 12 years ago. I had the GameCube and I was into Zelda and I was into like Donkey Kong Adventures.
I also have a GameCube here, by the way.
Oh man. Do you have Super Mario Sunshine?
No, I got a Super got Mario Kart Double Dash, Smash Bros. Nice.
Smash
Mario
Brothers.
Party.
Oh, yes.
SSX on Tour, this crazy snowboarding game. And Digimon.
Oh yeah, right.
And Zelda, I guess. I have to look it up.
Those are some. Man, we gotta play GameCube when I come over next time. That was my favorite console ever. The controllers are so comfortable.
it's great. No, but I also thought about buying the Switch because I always was more like a Nintendo guy.
Yeah.
And for many games, I'm not a gamer because I lose interest too fast.
Like, right. Like played, the big games, like the long games.
Yeah, I realized when I because I had no TV for a longer time now because mine was broken and it didn't it was too old to easily get it fixed. And then I didn't buy a new one because I knew my girlfriend was about to move in here with me and she has a TV. And so this TV is here since last Thursday or Friday. And I set it up. And I also set up the PS3 for the first time in, I don't know, a year or so. And yeah. I started GTA 5. And
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Grand Theft Auto. And the thing is, I really loved Grand Theft Auto 3, San Andreas 4.
Yeah.
Even GTA 2. Have you ever played it? You can download it for free from the internet.
What? You can download it for free now?
Grand Theft Auto 2. It's still from a bird's perspective, the whole game, but it's super fun to play. No, oh, but the wow. thing is, I really loved most of the Grand Theft Auto games, but GTA 5, when I don't find a mission I like within the first 2 minutes in the game, it's too much and I lose interest and I stop it.
Really? I used to just drive around like for an hour.
Yeah, but I did that for years.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like...
It does get old, yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Do you try to get like all 5 stars and have like the tanks and helicopters come kill you?
I'm just too impatient for most games.
So maybe Nintendo is really your thing because it's way more arcade style. Mario
exactly.
comes in short bursts. You have like single player missions.
Exactly.
Very, very clear objectives. Like the games that came with the Switch that Ben bought... so right now is Mario Kart 8, which is very cool. The maps are really fun. And then they have, he has Super Mario Maker 2. Do you know that
one? Ooh, that's amazing.
You know that game?
it's basically like the name says, you can build your own Mario worlds.
Yes, I'm showing you the card. Yeah, basically, see, the crazy, crazy cool thing about this game is, yes, you can build your own, but there's also story mode, which is a normal big Mario world with him and Luigi, and you take different jobs, and each job is like a mission, and the missions take place in either very old 1980s Mario version.
Nice.
Or they take place in like modern day hyper 3D, super colorful, beautiful Mario world.
Nice.
And everything in between, Paper Mario, Game Boy Mario, like every single. So you just take a mission like to get points to like build this castle or whatever. And each mission, you can just be placed into a different version of Mario from even before you were born. And it's really cool. And the third thing really great about it is there's just level mode where you can go into the internet on this platform of like just the maps or whatever. And there's just, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of player created levels from all around the world. And some of them are really unique, things I've never seen before. They are challenging or they're really easy. And you can go online and watch people playing them and stuff. And I'm really into it right now.
Nice.
And that's really cool. Oh, actually, reminding me of talking about games. I'm going to get this card. I want to talk about our special gift we got this week. Hold on.
Ooh. And he's back.
All right. So I want to give a very, very special thank you to Moritz Binder. He's a good friend of mine and the biggest fan of this podcast. Moritz, I know that you're listening, and I want to say thank you so much. For me and Mo, we are so thankful that you listen every episode, and we really appreciate that you've been a supporter from the very beginning, and it really means a lot. So Mo, I know that we're not together tonight, unfortunately, so I'll just give you a little rundown of the card. The cover says 39 episodes are over now, baby blue, in reference to our ending song. Because this is our 40th episode, which is pretty cool. Some of the card I feel is a little personal, so I'll just skip over a little bit. But basically, it says, "Hey Jordan, hey Mo, this round is on me." He gave us this card, and he also gave us a very nice gin and tonic too.
And now you dickhead are sitting there alone drinking the gin and playing Nintendo Switch.
Hey, I'm just having a glass because I got too anxious, but most of it's going to be for us. Don't worry. But I got too excited because it's such a nice thing. He says, "Tonight you're recording your 40th episode, and I think it's time to say thank you. Every week, I'm really looking forward to plug in my earphones and listen to your newest conversation." And he goes on about what it means to him and how much he likes it. And the cool thing is here at the bottom, he told us a few facts. He goes, "Just think about it. You've recorded 2,861 minutes."
Did he count it?
He did. "Which is 47.68 hours or 1.98 days." We've had this show for almost two days. Yeah. he says, "Please never stop, and I hope someday a company with a lot of money will sponsor your show so that you can do two episodes a week. Enjoy the gin." And then I think this last note's for you. He goes, "P.S. Even though I strictly disagree on the Metallica thing."
I didn't get that. Did I say... I think at some point I said something mean about Metallica.
I think, a few episodes ago.
And I got a PPS. I don't regret it. But thank you so, so much, Moritz Binder. We've never met, but you get a great name. And you seem to be an amazing guy. And it's so, so sweet. And my heart melted today when I read this.
It's so nice, and we really appreciate it. And I saw Moritz earlier today, so I told him that I would tell him one joke, and then I would save the second joke for the show, so he had to listen to it. So as promised...
Where did you get those from?
I heard both of them on two different podcasts since the last episode that we did. So the first joke I'm going to tell again, because he heard this one today, but you haven't heard it yet. So this is a really good joke. A guy walks into an office building for a job interview. He sits down with his boss across the desk, and the boss is looking through his resume. And he says, "Well, sir, everything here looks good, but what would you say is your biggest weakness?" And the guy says, "Well, to be honest, I guess my biggest weakness is that I'm too honest." And then the boss goes, "Well, I don't think that being too honest is an issue here at this firm." And the guy goes, "Well, I don't give a fuck what you think." That's a good joke, man. Come
on. Yeah.
I love that one. And then the new joke that Moritz has not heard yet is it's so stupid. I heard this today. So a guy goes to the doctor and he says, "Hey, doctor, you have to help me. You know, I have four testicles, but I'm pretty sure that it's affecting my voice." The doctor goes, "Well, you know, we have a surgery for that. We can remove the two extra balls. And, you know, I'm not sure how this will affect other parts of your life yet, but if you're willing to be the, you know, the experiment here, I'm sure it will fix your voice." He says, "Okay, doctor, I want to try it. I need to fix my voice." So the guy goes through with the surgery. And a few weeks later, he comes back to the doctor and he says, "Doctor, you were right. It helped my voice, but I don't like how this affected my life. I would like to get my two balls put back into my body." And the doctor goes, "I'm sorry, man. I can't help you." There we go. That's good, right?
So dumb, but so good.
Oh, man. I love that. Okay, let me take a small pee-pee break. I'm going to leave this recording. I'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
We're back in the game.
All right.
Oh man, I asked you to watch a movie for this week, but it did not work out because we did not have the appropriate subtitles. I think I'm going to take the fault for that one, actually, because I thought I had embedded the subtitles into the file, but maybe I did not.
There were no subtitles and there was no extra file with it. You don't have to take all of it on you because I looked it up and you already actually texted me that it could be that there are no subtitles and that I didn't think about this and just thought, okay, this is a movie with subtitles on it.
Ah, okay.
So I watched the first 5 minutes and
you kept expecting there to be subtitles later or something.
And then I skipped through the whole thing and was like, okay, there are no subtitles and I don't know any Korean.
No, man, that sucks. Yeah, we have to we'll have to fix that one. But you know, we were talking earlier today about maybe setting up a special Halloween episode.
That would be awesome.
What do you think about that? If we take, you know, you had this great idea that we, you know, do a Halloween movie together and, you know, kind of take some clips from us, our reactions to the movie, and maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be like a full, it would not be like a big film podcast or something, but it would be like a segment of a holiday episode where maybe we tell some, you know, some of our favorite scary stories, like maybe from German folklore, stuff that you were told when you were a kid, or some scary things you went through in Germany, or like some scary stories from my like American movies I watched when I was a kid and stuff. And it could be like a cool Halloween special.
That could be awesome.
Did you ever celebrate Halloween as a kid?
Yes, there are.
You did?
There's at least one funny story. Yeah, it is a thing that kids. So, first of all, Halloween is a thing in Germany, but it's not totally like the English or American Halloween, because it's not like you have costumes party where people would dress up as anybody or anything, but the topic is only horror stuff. So that's the first.
Oh, so it's just like as gothic and bloody,
yeah, exactly.
As you can get.
You would not go to a Halloween party dressed up as, I don't know,
a sexy bumblebee.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton or whatever.
Oh, I see. So it's not just dressing up. Yeah. It's only
we got a separate occasion for that one. You know it, Carnival.
Right, that makes sense. But I think that is kind of German to separate things put them into their own specific little categories.
Because it's one occasion more, people could get totally shit-faced and everyone is fine with it.
But no, yeah, totally.
Halloween is mostly a thing with kids, and Munich is a kind of German Halloween hotspot. I once did a piece about this for the radio station, and I don't exactly remember why it is that way, but Munich is, as far as I remember, the city where the percentage of people celebrating Halloween is the highest in Germany.
Wait, the percentage of people celebrating Halloween in Europe is in Germany?
In Germany.
Oh, in Munich.
Yeah.
Oh, the percentage of
the percentage of people celebrating Halloween is the highest in Munich compared to other German cities.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Something
that makes
that.
Sense. Makes sense because I'm in Munich.
Yeah.
You know?
And but to get back to that point, and as a kid, I did it, and it's just like, okay, the whole thing is kids meet for kind of a kid's party, and there's, I don't know, pie and fancy soft drinks that look like blood or whatever.
Yeah.
And kids go out and play trick or treat. Süßes oder Saures, that's what they call it in Germany. I wanted to bring up a category for a radio show called Süßes oder Sanitizer. Corona edition.
Oh god. Okay.
No, but I did play trick or treat with some friends when I was, I don't know, 6 years to 8 years or 5 to 7, something like that. So 2 or 3 times.
And are there sorry, go ahead.
No.
I was just gonna ask, are there families in Oberstdorf that, you know, leave the porch light on and you ring the bell in costume and they give you candy?
Yeah, but there are also people that open their door and get really angry and shout at you as little kids, like, "This is Bavaria. We don't celebrate this American bullshit here. Fuck off."
Now that is welcoming.
And I guess that is what you would have imagined. I experienced
that might have
both.
That might have been what I would have imagined if I had never moved to Germany or visited Germany ever. Because American jokes about Germans are always like, "Oh, the scheiße, what the hell, how the hell," you know, whatever.
Yeah, so, and nobody has fun.
That fits. Exactly.
So yeah, I had both. I experienced both. And one thing I remember was 1 year I dressed up. I was out with 3 or 4 friends of mine. I was 6 or 7 years old, and I dressed up as a ghost, basic ghost costume, white sheet. Holes for the eyes.
I love it.
Exactly. You love it. Bad thing about it, you don't see that much.
You didn't cut the holes big enough?
I cut the holes big enough, but I couldn't look down to my feet and see where I was walking without moving the whole sheet in a way that I wouldn't see anything at all.
Oh, I see.
So I always had to stare
straight ahead.
Straight ahead, yeah. And we've been at this one house where they gave us a lot of candy. They were super kind, and they even had baked something like brownies or something.
Oh wow!
Fresh, and gave them to us. And I carried them in a kind of basket or something. And then this one friend of mine was kind of leading me in one alley because it was super dark. And like I said, I didn't see that much.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the street beneath my feet disappeared. And I fell. And I landed super hard on the street. Now it's your turn. What do you think could have happened? From my point of view, I just walked there and it, from one point to another, I fell like 2 to 3 meters down.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Okay, 3 meters is a little bit much. Maybe 1.5 to 2 meters, something like that.
Well, I would guess that you
spooky Halloween story. The street disappeared. Yeah. It dissolved.
I would guess that you fell directly onto your basket of treats and smeared it all over your white sheet.
How did this happen? How could I fall?
Oh, how could you fall? I thought you said what happened after you fell. Oh, did you step on the sheet?
No, but the thing is, I was, from my point of view at this point, I was walking down the street and I fell down. I didn't fall over on the street. I actually fell down.
Oh,
that's the mystery.
Oh, I didn't understand that at all. I thought you just tripped on something and fell on your face.
I fell down.
You you went down like a manhole, like a sewer hole.
Like imagine those videos where there's this, there's this hole and somebody doesn't watch it in a cartoon and he falls down.
Just like, poof.
Yeah.
Did you fall down a manhole?
No.
Thank God. How did you fall? What happened? What was it?
Okay, the thing is, I said this one friend of mine was kind of guiding me. And he thought it was funny because it went around a corner, and after the corner, the street went downwards. And I was walking on the sidewalk, but the sidewalk ended there, and around the corner where the street went down the hill, there was a wall on the right side that stayed on the same level as the sidewalk on the street we've been before.
I see. Sidewalk ends, road goes down.
Road goes down.
So from the sidewalk to the road, there's a gap.
Yeah, exactly. And this wall is the same height as the road on the one side, but the street goes down. So the wall gets higher somehow. And he led me straight from the sidewalk to this wall, and I was walking on this wall, which is not that wide. It's like maybe 1 foot or 2 feet wide. And I fell off that wall. But it was so scary because I thought I was walking on the street. Plus, all of these freshly baked brownies or whatever it was were totally destroyed.
Oh, no.
I don't remember.
Everything just flew out and you fell on your ass and destroyed your candy.
I don't remember if I hurt myself. But it could not
probably
have been.
I mean, probably you hit yourself a little bit, but
it could not have been that bad.
Probably mostly it was just the shock of the unknown, right? Yeah. Like, and what's going on?
And that is this one Halloween memory I have, besides the Halloween parties at your place.
We've had some pretty good parties.
But those came later.
Yeah, those came later. It was funny. I remember when I first came to Munich, so... You know, no one really partied Halloween too much, or I didn't know about any Halloween parties really, other than like some kind of costume things at some dance clubs or whatever. But like house parties, like a good Halloween house party, I couldn't really find any, or I didn't really know anybody yet. So, you know, what we did was we just organized, like with the few friends and the fam, you know, we just, made our own. And the first couple of them, or at least the first one or two, were pretty weak. I mean, it was a nice effort. And of course, the food is always great. All these like cool handmade, you know, haunted foods like the finger sausages and the cake with the spider webs and the pumpkin with the like the vomit dip and stuff. Like, it's really cool stuff. We've always had that as like a reputation, like this cool, not reputation, but like as a tradition is what I mean. That's what I mean. The tradition.
That's a reputation.
Dude, like the parties suck, but the food's always awesome. The tradition is that the food is always really cool, in my opinion. And so we had that, but we just didn't have, I don't know, the first couple of years, we just had, I don't know, a handful of people. I think the very first one we had was at, I guess, I don't know if it, no, I think no one really knows like who if I say Maria and Daniel, you know who they are, but no one really listening is. But yeah, it's just like some friends, and they had, you know, a lot of their friends over who never really partied Halloween before. And, you know, they're used to, like you said, the costumes were all very serious, very bloody, very gory, which can be cool, but it almost kind of misses that fun aspect.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, the party was just very, very dry. People just didn't get like the point of it. Then finally, you know, like 4 years later, four parties later, we had this most recent one, the last October before COVID. And man, that party ripped.
And I was not there.
And you weren't there, man. I was so upset that you couldn't be there for like an hour.
Because yeah, you were not the only one. Tony already got a costume.
Oh,
and I was sick.
Oh man, it was great. It was like, it was the most crowded one that we had, and a lot of cool people and good friends showed up. And I think somewhere around like midnight or one, the whole house was just full, which is the most we ever had filled up for a Halloween party. And then, you know, usually after like 1 o'clock or so, a few people start dipping out. And then I think we still had some lively drinkers until maybe like four or something. So
that's solid.
Yeah, good turnout in my opinion.
No one's sleeping in the bathtub.
No.
That's a reputation.
That is a reputation. Now that's a reputation. Yeah, you haven't done that in a while. It's, you know, next time after COVID when we can party again, we'll have to get you back in the mood for that.
Yeah. I thought about maybe recording one podcast episode where we also Zoom or have a video chat, and each one is lying in his bathtub.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, but filled with water, etc., and all the nice stuff, bath bombs, whatever you could think of.
But I can be naked while we do this, what you're saying.
Yes, this is no video podcast, so you could be.
But I just want you to see.
Yeah, that's fine. We could, Jordan, our podcast could create an OnlyFans account.
Oh yeah,
by the way, while you're talking about this, I can see people having sex from my window here.
No, you cannot.
Yes,
can you really?
I just looked up because I'm sitting at a desk right at the, in front of the window.
What do you see? What exactly do you see? How do you know for sure? Do you just see like a butt going up and down in the window?
I see a butt and the male and the male back, and movements and motion that
would insinuate
that would not fit any form of other sports or whatever.
And yeah, but you don't see the other person.
Not really. And I'm not sure if I should look that way any longer. It's super inappropriate. No, but maybe it's also someone masturbating.
He says as he continues to stare endlessly.
now the lights are off.
Okay, now they get it. Now they get
win-win it. Win-win like situation. They get that they are
pretty visible.
International podcast.
they're like, let's be risky for like a second. And then they switch it back off. Oh my god! Oh, I thought of a crazy question. I thought a good would you rather that I think I forgot to ask you last time, or maybe I did ask you. In which case, we don't have to do it. But would you rather you have to watch. I think I asked you this. Would you rather watch the sex tape one?
Yeah, yeah. You asked me.
Oh, okay, I did ask you that one. Okay,
you did ask me that one.
That was a few months ago, but I forgot about that one. Oh, you know, I also wanted to say, because, you know, like we talked about two or three episodes ago, that our mothers listen to this. And my, after the last episode, the solo episode, my mom sent me this extremely sweet text. Ooh. And the same with Moritz. I wanted to give her a little shout out, especially if she's listening to this one. So, Mom, if you're listening, this message that you sent to me means a lot to me, and I wanted to give you a little shout out on the show and say thank you. This one is, it, of course, is pretty personal, but I just wanted to brush up on a few things she said. She basically, in general, says that, you know, through the podcast, she's learned how hard it is, like, you know, doing music and like getting everything from the paper to the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that through the podcast, she's been able to actually understand that and to see that side of my world that she maybe didn't get
mm-hmm.
before this. And she said that Thursdays are her favorite day of the week and that we should keep up the great work. And she loves getting to know me more through the show and you as well. And it was a really, really sweet message, and I just wanted to say thanks, Mom.
That's super sweet.
It was so sweet, man. I really teared up when she sent it because it was like the perfect moment. It came out on Thursday last week, and I think it was something like Thursday evening. She had already listened to it when she got up.
That's crazy.
She gets up pretty early. Yeah. So I think, you know, it came out like 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. our time. And so I guess she heard it like 7 a.m. her time.
Yeah, which is around early afternoon here.
Yeah, something like that. So I think it was maybe like 6 or o'clock or so that she wrote me, and she had already listened to it. And it was so nice because, yeah, I don't know. It's nice because it's really sweet.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm glad that we're, whether it's friends or whether it's family or whether it's newcomers, I'm really glad that this show means something to somebody.
Yeah, this is something that I love about it, because we both know, and I think we're being pretty honest about this. This is not a show thousands of people listen to. Totally not. But we still
for sure not.
Love to do it because I think it's kind of therapeutic for both of us. And we love the fact that there are at least, I don't know, 4 to 5 people who have such a strong commitment. I had a phone call with my mom today as well. And I sent her the photo of Moritz's letter as well. And she also found it super nice and told me, yes, she could not have phrased that better. And that she also feels the way like you described your mom, like she could have me in her living room or when she's with her once a week, because I'm not on a regular basis. In her daily life. And Moritz, who's such a big fan and so sweet and sent us his letter. And I think that's something that means very much to me. And that's why I think we always find the energy and the passion to do this weekly, even if our schedules kill us and there might only be half an hour within 7 days where there's a possibility to do this. And it's still such great fun. And I think I know we can keep on this kind of track and only get better.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. And I thought... I thought just now, because, you know, when we were on vacation, a couple of months ago, we had this great like catch up episode where we played some clips from some of our favorite guests and had them tell us what they've been up to. And I think I can make it work here just quickly to see if maybe if Basti would answer a phone for like 1 minute and just give us a little heads up about what he's been up to. I could just try and put it here to the mic and maybe it doesn't sound too bad. I hope you don't hate that idea since you're mixing this later, but maybe we could just give it a little try and see if he... Hey, Basti, I am currently recording Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, and I don't think you're going to be able to hear Mo, but if he does say something, I'll tell you what he says, because you're on my microphone. But we would just wanted to say hi and ask you what you've been up to, and if you have a second, maybe, you know, how things are for you in Lisbon right now. We just wanted to catch up with you.
Really? Ooh. I'm good. I'm currently working. So it's not perfect timing, but it's okay.
if it's bad time, we can always
I'm working. I'm about to finish here, and I'm good. I just arrived yesterday, and it's sunny and warm, much more than Munich. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, you were just here in Munich for a little while, right? And what's the temperature like back in Lisbon now?
I don't know about the temperature, but it's mild and sunny. So when I left Munich, it was windy, rainy, and cold. So I would say that's a plus.
That's kind of like the consistent weather here right now, I think. Like as soon as it turned like September 1, it was going to be 13 degrees, windy, cloudy, and rainy every single day.
So how about you? What are you talking about?
Well, we were just talking about, I don't know, a few different things. I wanted to ask you something, actually, if you ever celebrated Halloween as a kid when you were growing up in Germany at all.
No, not at all.
So there was never any inkling of like anything at all remotely close to that.
I would say when we went to school that they would maybe happen Halloween parties or something, but like children's parties, I mean, maybe very young adolescents. I don't know, how do you call when you're like 14 or something? So you would make like Halloween parties or something Halloween themed, but not as a tradition like in America that you would go around and ask for candy or something. That happened all later, I would say.
Do you remember your first Halloween experience?
You know, I don't think I really had a Halloween experience. My sister's birthday is on the 31st, so whenever there was a party, I would celebrate with her. So unless she would make a Halloween-themed thing, I did not never really party Halloween. I mean, your Halloween parties are legendary, but there's either my sister or my friend Lisa, who has birthday on the 1st of November. So I was always in that situation that I could never celebrate Halloween with you. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you never got to make it to... Oh, that's nice that you say legendary, which is funny because you haven't been there.
Oh, I've heard so much about it.
Oh, man, that's super nice. Well, we just wanted to say hi, and I was just thinking about you, and it's really cool to hear from you, and I hope that you're doing well, and the Artsy Fartsy family wishes you all the very best.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about it. I mean, you have so many episodes already. Is it like 38?
You are my friend on episode 40.
Oh, okay. Wow. So congrats to that. So I was wondering, you know, like I'm in Lisbon now for 2 years. So I guess my experience and everything would be so different in the future, or maybe in a year or something from when we talked the first time, because that's when I just left Munich to go to Lisbon. So I think for some people, maybe it would make sense to interview them again. I'm not asking to get on the show again, but I think if it's still about like immigrants and artsy fartsy immigrants, and if that's still the hot topic, then sometimes it maybe makes sense to get in touch again and compare the experiences after 2 years or something.
We would love to do that. Like Mo was just saying in my ear that we would love to have you officially on the show again.
I would love to.
Great. Then let's plan that. We'll have another episode that's dedicated to like a full conversation with you.
Okay, great. So have fun. Don't drink too much. I saw a bottle of gin on Instagram, so.
You'd be right. Cool. All right,
congrats,
buddy.
Congrats to 40 episodes and have fun and say hi to Mo.
Will do. Yeah, he hears you. All right, buddy. Have a good evening. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Ciao.
Bye-bye. Oh, that's always really nice.
Nice. You could have given him the would you rather with the sex tape, but you missed out on that one.
I know. It was just quick timing because I felt like he was kind of rushed. I think he was working.
But we will do that when we get him on the show again. That's something I wanted to talk about before you grab your phone and called Basti, which was a great idea, that I think we could get people again for a whole... episodes for a catch up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talk to them again because just like he mentioned, things change, and especially when you move to a foreign country, you might have even if you move cities within a country you speak the language of or your home country, whatever, you change. You change, the people around you change, your impressions change. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it'd be great to have him back on because, yeah, like you said, I mean, has it been a year? More than a year since we spoke to him?
More than a year. He was the second guest. So that must have
been... Oh, wow, right, yeah.
So that must have been in July 2019.
19, damn. Yeah, it's overdue to have an update from Basti for sure. Yeah. And maybe we could even try and get one with Vivi because that's also been a long time.
Yes, sir.
Just to see, because things have changed with, you know, how she's handling her visa, what her future is now that there's been COVID in America and she hasn't been able to go home in a year. So that would be a really cool thing to catch up on for sure.
I think we have got plenty to talk about for the next few weeks.
Yes,
but I sadly think not for today because I have to call it roundabout.
That's
here.
Fine. That's cool. That's cool for me.
But I hope for the very best and for the very best test outcome.
Yes. Tell Tony that I said you know, all the best luck, and I really hope that everything works out okay.
Yeah, and hope to see you soon again in person. Maybe we could have Ben on the show so he brings the Switch sometimes. And he's also an artsy-fartsy. No, he's not really an artsy.
He's not. Yeah, I mean, he's technically an immigrant, but he doesn't work in a creative field.
But
maybe we could bend some rules, we could bend some rules.
No, but I think that should not be an issue because, let's be honest, this podcast is called Artsy-Fartsy Immigrants. And 50% of the hosts have never migrated anywhere in their entire life. So I think it should it should not be such a big deal if we get Ben, especially when he brings the Switch.
You know, I think he actually would be great to have on the show if we bent that rule because he is a great conversationalist and I think he has a lot of interesting opinions. And you know, if we talked about politics with him, it may not be the I don't know if it's the right idea. It could be a great idea because he's actually really...
And he's experienced really quite cool stuff.
I mean, he works for the British consulate, which is pretty cool. I think he'd have a lot of interesting insider information, so...
I think we should do that. And we should drink that gin once again. Biggest shout out to Moritz Binder. Thanks a lot. And thank you for another nice conversation. And here next week.
Man, it was my pleasure. Big shout out to Moritz Binder and my mom. I love you guys. And to Basti, we're going to get you on a proper episode soon. And Mo, let's meet up soon and talk about a possible big Halloween special. And we got to get that mom special locked down.
Yes, sir.
On the next episode, we can even talk about the possibilities of a new podcast. So with all that in mind... So I guess we'll just hang up here, or should we stop recording as we hang up the call?
We can stop the recording and then...
Stop the recording first. Okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please go to Spotify or Deezer or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this podcast. please give us a nice like or a rating or a comment or something, or share it with your friends, or even please just tell a friend by word of mouth. You'd be so surprised how far that helps new people find shows like ours. Please and thank you very much. And if you have any information, yeah, go ahead.
No. If you have any information, if you want to get in touch with us, just DM us over Instagram at @artsy40immigrants or send us an email to podcast@m945.de.
Beautifully said. All right, guys, let Van Morrison lay us out.
Look out, baby, the Saints are coming.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.